from the creators of The Shape. CCC Entertainment Group presents a nostalgic fan film series. Michael Myers, Jason Voorhees, Fred Krueger, and many other iconic horror icons from the 80s and 90s converge in a universe we've all been waiting for. The Horrorverse, Season 1. Available now on YouTube. Awaken the darkness.
Welcome to Around the Reel with your hosts, Aaron Carlson, Charles Lawson, and Samantha Hanna. Ah, shit. Here we go again.
You've been up since 6 o'clock this morning on a Saturday?
I've been up since 5:30, actually. I couldn't lay down anymore. I stayed in bed till 6.
That's insane. I don't understand how you can do that.
Well, once I've been laying down for a certain period of time, I just can't lay down anymore. I just like, okay, I got to get up. My body's going to start to hurt. And I had like the pins and needles in my legs this morning. So I was like, okay, time to get up.
On a Saturday?
Yeah, Jen said the same thing. She's like, but it's Saturday. I was like, I'm getting up so I can walk later.
But it's Saturday.
Yeah, it's Saturday.
Okay, fair. Okay.
I sure hope that our guest today has paid attention to our show before. Otherwise, she's like, am I on the right thing? Am I just walking into people babbling about
nothing? Is
this
nothing? The orthopedic podcast? Or
when Chuck is on, yeah. When Charles is on, yeah, it is the orthopedic podcast.
Heather, you're in luck. Today is orthopedic. Next week, we're back to gastrointestinal.
Awesome. I can contribute to that.
Who doesn't have IBS? Right, come on.
Man. And Heather, it's funny. These guys on my team here are the ones that are younger than me, and they're all going through it physically.
They're like, going to hell. You know?
In more ways than one.
Yeah, they're just broken. Man. All right. Well, anyway, hi, Heather.
Hi.
Thank you for joining us. Hi. Welcome to Around the Reel.
Thank you.
Yeah, I don't know much about Heather today, so I'm like I'm happy to just try to figure out what's going on with Heather and what
Who
we're doing. I know that Sam, Sam set this up, so it's like she gets these guests sometimes, and we're like, who is it, and we're like, you're gonna see,
surprise.
I know. So Sam, you want to introduce Heather? Heather, do you want to introduce yourself?
Sure.
Heather, who the hell are you? What the hell do you do?
Yeah, right. Let's go.
It's a very existential question. I am the executive director of the McMinnville Short Film Festival, which takes place in McMinnville, Oregon, which is in the heart of Oregon wine country. This is our 13th year. It's a wonderful festival. We're showcasing 102 short films this year from all over the world. 75 of them are Oregon premieres. So it's a wonderful festival. We had 4 films that were shortlisted for Oscars. Wow. And we have filmmakers that come in from all over the country to celebrate short films and mixers and industry panels over the course of 3 days. So it's an exciting festival.
Yeah, that is.
Wow.
That's awesome. And that's going on from the 23rd to...
From February 23rd to 25th.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
We kick off on Friday at 11 o'clock. And we charge through all the way till 9 o'clock on Sunday evening. We commence with our awards dinner ceremony, which is just a big party. We hand out all the awards for the best in category winners, and we have a keynote speaker. And so it's just a high energy event for 3 days.
That's super fun.
That sounds fun. We make movies.
Okay, awesome.
Yep.
We've been known to dabble.
Yeah, we have not been to an official film festival. Except one, I think we did in Seattle, but that was during COVID, so we couldn't do anything.
Oh, so it was all virtual.
Yeah, it was all virtual.
Yeah, that was a sad year for film festivals,
wasn't
the COVID
it?
During. I mean, everything, you know, and the whole essence of a film festival is that in-person connection with other filmmakers and, you know, networking and having a couple cocktails and enjoying each other's work. And so, boy, COVID really
shut it down.
Not the quite same experience being on a Zoom call with a bunch of other filmmakers as being in person. So.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
We'd be drinking cocktails now if it wasn't 10 a.m.
Well, speak for yourself.
I can go open a mimosa. I mean, I'm down.
Speak for yourself. That's just not cranberry juice, bro.
The coffee's warm.
I know that mug trick, okay? I have porter directions.
She knows what's up. She knows what that's Sam's trick everywhere we go. Right?
That's what Yetis were made for, you know.
Sam invented the roadie. I mean, just whatever the thermos you can grab. So,
yep. That's why the Stanleys have gotten bigger and bigger. I'm convinced of it.
I love it.
America's alcoholism. Yes.
That's what we do.
The secret.
Yeah, so, it's a secret that's not really a secret.
Yeah, exactly. Well known.
What? Because everyone always goes, "What's in that?"
Water.
Water. It's like a water bottle.
Yeah, I mood water.
So Heather, okay. So do you run the film festival down there?
Are
you?
Do.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I got a lot.
I'm actually a filmmaker myself, and I premiered a short film at McMinnville Film Festival like 4 years ago.
Okay.
And just fell in love with this festival. It's a very warm, personal type of film festival. It's very engaging and down to earth. Mm-hmm. And I loved it. And I had moved up from Los Angeles to Oregon. And became very friendly with the founder and then executive director, Nancy Morrow. And I actually volunteered with the festival for about a year, just doing community outreach and a little fundraising for them. And she stepped down and sort of bestowed the film festival to me. And I've been running it for the last 2 years and trying to elevate it and raise more visibility for this film festival. So we've been growing by leaps and bounds. Awesome. And so it's an exciting time to be a part of it, and I'm really excited for next week.
What goes into running a film festival? Like, what do you do? I've always wanted to know, because we have a buddy who runs one, and I've never asked him. So I'm going to ask you. Like, what is it? What do you have to do to get it rolling and stuff?
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of work, as running any multi-day event is. I mean, it takes a year to prepare. Mm-hmm. I spend all year doing, you know, grant writing and all of the financial side to secure the film festival. But then I spend all year visiting other film festivals and watching, you know, all of the major festivals, whatever's available online to curate and procure my shorts. You know, it's a lot of filmmaker contact, reaching out to filmmakers, reaching out to my contacts, and sometimes cold calling to have industry panelists come and attend the festival, preparing all of the like logistics of actually hosting an, you know, in-person venue, the venue space and all of that. And just keeping up a high level of communication with all the filmmakers coming into the festival with selections and make sure everybody's settled. We do cover some travel and lodging for film festivals. So it's all of that side of it. And it's basically a full-time commitment to get it, if you're doing it right.
Yeah.
Right.
And you're committed to your filmmakers having the experience of having their work celebrated. You know, it takes a lot of little extra details to get that accomplished. Plus putting it out there to the audience and the community to raise visibility to get, you know, a full theater of people.
Definitely. And that's not easy. That marketing part really isn't easy. Especially nowadays, the way that things are done. I really, hands down to you for that work, because that work alone to me is a lot.
Yeah, it's its own individual job. Yeah. That side. The audience side is, it's a lot, you know, and I'm so grateful to even appear on the podcast to just, you know, it really helps get the word out there about McMinnville Short Film Festival. And it's all of that whole array of putting it, raising awareness to get the community. Because we're, you know, McMinnville's only less than an hour south of Portland, Oregon.
Okay.
You know, but you'd be amazed how many people aren't aware that this festival is happening, even though it's our 13th year.
I had no idea.
It's a lot of legwork.
I didn't know, So, yeah, I'm glad you're sharing it with us and everyone.
Well, thanks to my marketing skills for our company, we'll be able to... Which she gives you credit for marketing so much, and I do it every day. She never gives me credit for it.
I live with him, so he gets no credit.
Are you in separate rooms right now?
Zero.
No, we're in the same room.
They're across the table.
We're in the same room. Yeah. Yep.
I can kind of tell by the lighting.
We had to separate the studios because I just couldn't take Sam beating Aaron every time he talked about how great he's doing.
I thought
the
we decided
odd show.
I thought we decided not to go to your house because of all your stomach issues, because the smell.
I thought it was just too far for us to drive.
This is not gastrointestinal week, Aaron.
I know.
Or the pedic week.
Yeah. He barely made it up the stairs today.
Oh my god.
To the studio portrait.
Well, I have a question for you, Heather. Yeah. So do you do most of your shorts come from people contacting you or filmmakers contacting you, or are you contacting filmmakers, or is it a complete mixture of both?
It's a complete mixture. So our submissions nearly doubled this year. We had the most submissions, direct submissions that we've ever had in the film festival. So the bulk of them do come from direct submissions. We've got the word is out now, sort of word of mouth. So the quality of the films is quite high. There are, you know, films throughout the year that I've seen that I would love to include in the festival. So I'll reach out directly to those filmmakers. There's also, we work with some distribution companies that deal with short films, that, you know, submit a block of films where a lot of those are international films where I'll maybe curate a few out of there. It really depends. I mean, every festival is different because it's kind of like the tonality of that block and things like that. What I strive to do is, we may have a couple more high profile shorts, but I'm also looking for those lesser known filmmakers and lesser known films, and try to program accordingly to sort of bump up some of the high profile ones, bumped up to maybe a filmmaker that you haven't heard of before, film that you haven't heard of before. And I think that makes for like a really great audience experience to see a variation of work that's all engaging, but may not be the, you know, the $75,000 short film that, you know, was underwritten by, you know, Disney or something like that. You know,
exactly,
they're all involved now in short films. So I try to stay really with an independent, you know, the filmmakers who are really, you know, pulling money from their friends and their family and where they can to create, you know, their art. So,
That's always more impressive to me when someone can make something out of nothing like that. I always have a different appreciation for, I'd say a different appreciation. Because, I mean, of course you can make, if you have all the money or you want or a lot of it or easy access to it, then you can make great stuff easily, quite easily. But
wait a minute, I contest your statement. I've seen some of the big blockbuster stuff lately and I'm like, didn't we watch that 10 years ago?
Well, I mean,
Well, it's always trying to find that original story.
Exactly,
you know, and done in a new way. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as a filmmaker myself who's made a couple shorts, I really appreciate that journey that some of these filmmakers take to get their work completed. It is a marathon of getting it all done and coming up with the funds. And so I have a true appreciation for watching these films and knowing what goes into creating them, you know. And sometimes the most original story, the most engaging, isn't always the slickest film with, like, you know, the most high paid post-production. And, you know, sometimes it's really comes down to the story and how well you move an audience member. And, you know, are they able to pull off their concept? And that's definitely one of the big factors that go into getting programmed.
Absolutely. So, I totally agree. And it's that passion and that commitment of that filmmaker that shines, I think.
And you can always really see and really tell the people that fit, you know.
It's and all that carries on even with features, right? Like even independent, you know, to find somebody's, you know, a really that I think there's always those surprise hits that come out of some of the larger festivals that are in feature films. You know, they're always like the sneaker hits, right? Because audiences want that. They
root for the underdog.
Authenticity. It's so underrated by the studios, but moviegoers like authenticity. They like human related connection to the film and reality characters. And even if it's an obtuse topic, I mean, still you can tell when there's an authenticity to it.
Yeah.
You
know, they're dying for it.
Yeah,
you know, they're tired of the same thing. You hear it all the time, you know. Yeah, oh, another remake, Hollywood, come on. I mean, people say it all the time. That's all they talk about. And then these indie films, you know, they go out on a ledge and take shots that no one else can do. And those films, they work.
They work.
Yeah, they do.
And you
they
hope
do.
They get picked up. Yeah. That you hope it can find an audience, because you can make a great film and then there's that whole other piece of the industry where you have to get a distributor to even get it in front of audiences. This is I'm mostly talking features.
Yeah.
But
sure.
It's a tough industry.
So explain the shorts. How long? What's your cutoff there for us to be considered a short?
I mean, ideally we like 20 minutes or less for length of film, but we certainly have some longer films. You know, we always make exceptions.
Okay.
I would suggest to filmmakers out there, though, if they're looking to get programmed, you know, there's a lot of incredible films I had to turn away. I just couldn't fit them.
Yeah.
Right.
So if we take one 30-minute film, our blocks average between an hour and a half, an hour and 40.
Okay.
So if, you know, I have one outstanding 30-minute film, that block's out you know, potentially two, maybe even three shorts, you know. Yeah. So it's always a tricky, and I know a lot of films get eliminated from film festivals just simply due to length of time.
Yeah.
Matrix to try to program these blocks.
Yeah.
So time is, you know, I always encourage people, the shorter the better. Make your story tight. Like, just the shorter the better, if you can pull it off, because you're more likely to get programmed.
Yeah, definitely.
Like the new version of Blazing Saddles, where it just shows the title.
Exactly.
And it shows the end.
And it's still funny. No, it's still funny. They did it.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, that's the toughest part, I think, because I'd have a hard time turning away stuff. If I was doing a film festival, I was running one, I'd have a hard time, because I know there'd be a lot of films that I'd probably like, even if they were longer. I'd be like, God damn, I want to put that in there.
Yeah, you know, there was a lot of films. I had a lot of films I wanted to include, and I'm like, ugh, you know, and I think that's probably the worst part of my job.
Yeah,
notifying the filmmakers. I'm sorry, you know, it's. I try to personalize my, you know, quote rejection letter, but you know, some of the film festivals are like, nope, you know, I'm sorry, but it's. It's just kind of the pragmatic reality of there's just really so much time in a day.
Yeah, yeah. It's part of the job, I guess.
It is, yeah.
Do you yourself review all of them, or do you have a team that reviews things for you?
Well, we have a committee. We have a screening committee that kind of initially gives notes, but I do watch every single submission.
Aaron, some people will watch anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, because I want to make sure, because I'm programming the festival, and I really like to oversee, you know, I really want to make sure nothing gets overlooked. There's always something, an X factor, I think, that goes into certain films that maybe some of the screening committee may have not caught, or I like to be involved in that part of it. It's something that I think it's very important that the program, the level of quality and interest is, you know, done correctly or best as it can, or at least what I feel my most input on the festival is. So yeah, I watch every single submission.
So
I do not judge the winners.
Yeah.
We have, you know, we have a full judging panel.
Do you pick the judges differently every year?
This year I added Ione Skye and Kyle Marvin to the judging panel. Peter Billingsley stayed on board. He had such a good time last year. We have Laura Silverman also stayed on board. I do like to like mix it up, so I'll look for some other more industry judges for coming into this year. We do tend to favor Academy members as our judges.
Okay.
So, you know, we'll I have some calls out, and we'll see who comes on board for the 2025 festival. Some of these judges will stay on board, but
Do you do that to actually for the filmmakers, to give them hope and be like, here, look, these are the industry pros looking at your stuff, and they're giving you real input.
We'll be back after a quick break.
Hey, everybody. Let's talk about Buzzsprout, our podcast host. You know, when we started our show, we wanted a platform to share our voice in this industry and have some fucking fun. With Buzzsprout and their team being passionate about helping you succeed, you're in good hands. You'll get a great-looking podcast website, audio players that you can drop into other websites, detailed analytics to see how people are listening, tools to promote your episodes, and so much more.
Following the link in the show notes lets Buzzsprout know we sent you. Get you a $20 Amazon gift card if you sign up for the paid plan and help support our show. So join over 100,000 podcasters already using Buzzsprout to get their message out to the world. Let's create something great. Join together, people.
Yeah, they give great notes. And I think it's important for my filmmakers to be seen by people who are putting together productions in the industry. I think that, like, our speakers who are coming to speak, who are all, you know, Liz Cardenas, who's, you know, an award-winning producer, won the Independent Spirit Award, won the John Cassavetes Award. She is coming to speak at the film festival. Missy Laney, who's the director of development for Adult Swim. Jonathan Raymond, who's a celebrated screenwriter, worked on all the Kelly Reichardt's films, works with Todd Haynes. These are the people I want to bring to the festival so my filmmakers can network, because they're all connected to putting together current productions in the independent world.
Right.
And so, yes, it is important for the judges to see work that's up and coming. I know that Peter's looking at the work, and, you know, he does a lot of films with Jon Favreau and Vince Vaughn. And, you know, they're looking for, he had a very good connection with our Grand Jury Prize winner last year, Daniel Egbert, did a wonderful short called Chorus. And I know that they remained in contact. And so that's, to me, what a good film festival, it's about connecting these up-and-coming filmmakers with people who are doing work in the industry, because you want to be able to offer that, you know, so you people can move ahead and get work, right? It's really hard to get work, especially most of this work is not happening in Oregon. So, you know, it's hard to make these sort of, you know, we have a very intimate film festival. And so it's a great opportunity for people to come and mix it up. As far as our judges being Academy, yes, the goal of the film festival, it's on its way. It's poised to be an Academy qualifying film festival. So just on the, you know, it is prudent for us to make sure that our judges are Academy members and sort of integrated within that community to keep the level of work where it needs to be.
Yeah. Well, especially if you're gearing towards that for sure. And that's great.
Yeah.
How cool. How cool is that? And what you've got.
But
going
I got a big question here. This is this is an interesting one for me because I'm still going back to like choosing the films for the festival. How do you stay objective? How are you able not to get yourself wrapped into like, that's the type of movie I like or story I like?
Sure. And I mean, we all have our preferences, right?
We do.
You know, we all have our preferences and, you know, it's, that's one of the reasons why we have a screening committee. It's certainly not just my opinion coming through and just saying, nope, this one, I like this, you know, oh, this is, you know, it's, we talk about it and sort of talk through it. And some of it kind of just starts to put together itself based on a tonality of a block or something.
And by a block, you mean
it's always a challenge, but you know,
yeah, certain films that are played in a certain time frame.
So like a certain block may have a, you know, so they're not a totally erratic experience for the movie.
Yeah, you get some head chops off and then you've got a love
film. Yeah, it's not horror mixed with, you know.
Okay, that's what I'm sorry. I didn't mean
to
cut you off.
There's nothing wrong with horror mixed with faith-based.
I think it's great.
What we do here.
That's what we do. Yeah.
They are a little similar in certain ways. Is that when, like,
you
quantum
physics
is a key flipper out?
She said there's similar. I couldn't agree more.
Either way, in a good story, whether it be a Christian story or a horror story, somebody fucking dies.
I don't know, man, but if you watch Left Behind series, that's some scary shit.
Well, my I've been collecting questions, and I have two.
Oh, go.
You've been collecting me one of two?
Yeah, I only have two. because I've been also listening, so thank you, Ty.
Good job.
one of them, I don't remember the first one yet, but the second one that I have now is like, have you ever had a hard time like categorizing a movie? Like, has there ever been like so much in it? Or either like there was just, it was mixed with so many things, you were just like, where do I put this?
like a Jesus comedy slasher
film? Yeah, like something, just create like all these different genres, because we made a movie and we had a hard time categorizing.
Freeway, which is where the filmmakers submit their films to us. I mean, we have it broken. They submit under a specific category.
Oh, you submit that way. Yeah. Okay.
So I think the one category,
would you ever disagree with what they have for their category?
Sometimes I'll move them.
Okay.
Sometimes I'm moving them because they're more likely, as some of the crossover happens in documentary and environmental.
Okay.
A lot of the environmental films are docs and, you know, so there's some thematics that come on there. So I tend to move those back and forth. I would say, you know, then there's comedy, which, you know, there's drama, there's horror, you know, there's experimental. Those are all very clearly defined typically, usually. Probably the one block where it's, you're going to get a large variety of genres would be the Oregon filmmaker block, because the criteria is Oregon filmmaker.
Oh, okay.
And so, you know, within that block, we have an animation, you know, we have a comedy, we have dramas, you know, because we're focusing on our Oregon-based filmmakers. That and our college showcase, also sort of an array of college work that isn't exactly fall into the, you know, narrow parameter of like drama. You know, they're a little all over the place as far as genre, but collectively they're college or Oregon filmmaker. But the other blocks are pretty defined. We have four comedy drama blocks. So we do mix comedy and drama within a block.
Oh, okay.
And try to make that flow pretty good and mix it up, because I think watching four super heavy dramas, you know, or six really heavy dramas can be a lot to take in. So it's nice to mix in some really
fun
funny comedies in there.
Right. Got it.
They're also equally as well done. So, yeah.
Yeah. If you can fit, if they can fit together, and I mean, you can tell. You can tell if it's from a different genre and still can mix together, be by each other. I'm sure you're.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
It's easy for you to put them together that way.
I wouldn't say it's easy, but it's.
Well,
but you kind of get a
feeling of
my tonality. Yeah, but that's the tonality I kept saying. It's like that flow of
the
films.
Flow, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you feel it. You feel it. You see it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It kind of comes together in that way, I feel.
Yeah.
I do remember my other question.
Oh, what do you got?
Thank God it's a talk show. I'm so glad you have questions. I have one too, but I'm waiting for the right moment.
Oh, okay. Well, I was wanting to know, so this is just like a personal curiosity question, but I was wanting to know if you ever watched something and you loved everything about it, but there was just one little thing that you couldn't just, you couldn't go through with it, or it didn't pass because of this one reason, like maybe, I don't know, whatever.
Sound quality, something like that.
Yeah, something, you know, but it was great and you had to, and how did you deal with that with the filmmaker? Did you tell them, you know, that's exactly why you didn't make it? You were going to make it, but this is why? Or do you disclose that? Or how do you go about that?
Very good.
So during the process, I don't communicate with any of the filmmakers. Like, I will sometimes request a film from a director, or, and it's not a guarantee it's going to make it in. I just wanted to include it in the mix while we review. I don't communicate anything with the filmmakers during the process itself. You know, it's their responsibility to make sure that the screener that's available is what they want to show. Because I do occasionally get sound will be off, or yeah, some things, or there's a glitch, or, you know, that's, I can't,
you those
know,
technical I watch things. Thousand I guess films. I guess, yeah, I mean I, more, not the technical stuff, but I mean more
sure,
like
so,
the...
Yeah, like a flaw in the story or something,
yeah,
that just
yeah, something that
didn't come to fruition.
Yes.
So that's tough. And it really depends. It can make a difference, because if I'm making a decision between, and I watch hundreds of short films that are submitted, if I'm watching, you know, if it's between this one and this one, and they're, you know, of what's going to get chosen, yeah, that is going to come into play, because right, it absolutely does. And sometimes it's those fine lines, the splitting those hairs, that makes the difference from getting programmed or not. And usually I'll discuss it with my screening committee. Sometimes I'll occasionally pop it up to one of the judges to see what they think. They're usually not involved in this time of the process, but occasionally I'll get more of a experienced opinion sometimes if I'm trying to kind of come up with an answer. I usually just start asking people. If I can't make the decision, or if I feel like, am I doing the right thing? I just reach out to my resources, because, you know, I don't have all the answers, obviously. Right. Mm-hmm. So I usually just ask the people that I work with if, hey, what do you think between this, or we'll kind of hash it out a little bit and kind of make the determination like that, because we do have some films that come down where it's like a handful of films and it only take two out of this pool of like, say, 10 or so, you know.
Yeah.
And so it gets really hard when you get down to the programming phase.
So the details are pretty important, okay, then.
Yeah. Details as far as did you accomplish your concept of your story, like those types of sort of, you know, more lofty types of things about the films, technicality aside, yeah, you know, it's, did it work, you know, right, did, you know, did the acting, sometimes acting holds back a film, to be honest.
Yeah, a lot of times, tricky. I'm sure it does. Yeah.
Well, you had a great premise, but your brother just doesn't pull off.
Exactly. Yeah.
Not everybody can work for free.
Yeah. No, yeah. A lot of people use their friends and family to do their movies when they don't have any money, and we definitely did
that.
We've definitely been there. And I always credit Aaron for having such a gift and bringing great actors out of people, because we have had so many actors that have never acted before that Aaron's brought unbelievable performances out of. And
they're pretty good.
Well, some of the best films are non-actors.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of films where they're non-actors, even like mainstream films.
Yeah.
It's pulled off. And I mean, you know, it's...
I truly believe that a lot of that lies with the director. Because some directors are able to pull something out of people that
feel comfortable.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you see some people that are inexperienced, you see them in one film and, you know, you're like, but then you see them in another film and they're really good. So I think it does matter. The director does matter, because it matters the direction that you're giving and the take that you're accepting and all of that stuff.
It also helps if it's a non-actor working with a really good actor.
That too.
Because they can carry the scene, you know, they create this sort of chemistry. And, you know, if you have a really good actor backed up with a non-actor and can create that interaction really well, or that have that level of support, it can bring out a performance.
Definitely. Yeah. That's true.
We've experienced that as well too.
Yes, we have.
Yeah. It happens. I've been able to work with everybody one way or another to get something out of, even down to my brother when he was in The Outrider, when we made that movie. He's not an actor, but he had the look, and he's my brother. And I'm like, dude, play this part. You can do it. He's like, dude, I'm so sick of you trying to get me into these movies. And he ended up doing it. Right. He
did.
And he had no idea what his lines were. He had no clue. He's on set. He's in the middle of the street in one of the little towns we have in our area. And
it's 36 degrees outside, and this guy made him take his shirt off.
Yeah, no shirt. He's got a big long jacket on. He's playing this badass. And he's just out there bitching. He has no idea what he's doing. I'm feeding him lines behind the camera and saying it like I want him to say it. And it kept the camera rolling. And he just mimicked what I did. And it worked. Okay. And it worked. It worked just fine. And actually, he's the coolest part of the fucking movie. Seriously. And that's what happened.
Thanks. Two of the other stars are on the screen with you right now. But okay.
Yeah. I mean, still, seriously, he was very cool. His character was very cool. And it worked.
Is it a short film?
No, it's a feature.
No, it's a really long one.
Yeah, it's a feature. Yeah, it was our first feature we put out.
It's this guy right here.
The Outrider.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But I get what you're saying, and it taught me something about that. You know, I think people, when they're acting in films, whether they're actors or not, once they're comfortable, it's easy for them.
Yeah.
They especially a non-actor, they think it's probably this, oh, I don't know my lines, I don't know what to do. This camera is this lights, this is scary, you know, I can't look at the camera, and they're all stiff. If you just let them know, it's not that deep.
Right.
Really, just play. Like when you were a kid, just play.
Right.
All of a sudden, it comes out, and it helps. It helps alleviate it. Now,
there's going to be like a turn into a method actor now.
Right. Yeah. Is there some things they can't do
the other way?
There's a lot of stuff they probably wouldn't be able to end up doing like an actor would, who's been training and trying to learn the craft. Sure. But you know, if you need somebody to pull something off, there's a way to do it, and they can.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It's always a way. But you got to have that eye to know what doesn't work and what does.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and that's the trick, you know. So that's crazy. So you do all short films at this festival then?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
All shorts. Yep.
And you said
try not to make it sound so exhausting. She's like, correct.
Yeah, because it's a lot. But
102.
You mentioned earlier about distributors being at the festival or
no? Distributors are not at our festival.
Okay.
We work with distributors. They send because they're representing films, so they'll approach me throughout the year with, you know, some films that they're representing.
Got it.
And we also do introductions for our filmmakers. If they're interested in distribution, I'll do an introduction to them.
How does that work with short films? Like, I was curious, what platforms are there? Because I haven't dived into that too much. And that's one of the reasons why we don't get too involved with festivals in general, because we want to get our work out there. We want to make money making our movies and that kind of thing.
Yeah, there's not a lot of money in short films.
Right.
There's a huge, Salud Morissette out of Europe is a very big, top-notch short film distributor. You know, A24, I think, still picks up some short films. Mm-hmm. There's not a... Gosh, what are the other ones? There's also some platforms like Film Fatales, who represent a lot of female filmmakers, and a few others. So it's hard to make money off a short film. So just how do distributors make money if there's no money to be made in short films? So it's a tricky sort of niche group. Yeah.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a great proof of concept for the filmmaker, basically, to show.
Yeah,
the
I mean, there's a lot
have.
Of shorts that have gone on to be features, right?
Yes.
You know, I mean, we had one last year, Mashari, which is a Bangladeshi filmmaker, and that film got picked up by, his name just escaped me. Who did Get Out? Jordan Peele.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Got picked up by Jordan Peele to go on to, it's going to be a feature, you know? And so there's a lot of shorts that get picked up by larger directors, we'll see it, or to develop it into a feature.
That's
you know,
awesome.
there's avenues for filmmakers to advance off, you know, and a lot of, I mean, you remember Whiplash, the drumming movie from quite a few years?
Yeah.
I mean, they were trying to make a feature out of that film and couldn't get the funding. So they made a short. And that's how they ended up making their feature, you know, and that happens a lot
that makes sense now
with a lot of shorts.
Yeah.
And that's how I look at them too. Short films. I do. I've always wanted to be a feature guy. Sam's always like, you need to make shorter movies. And I'm like, okay, I will. And I ended up making a series of short movies to stretch out the story to make it all work.
We made an episodic show.
Yes, we did. We did. There are a bunch of shorts, but.
Well, I'm ADHD or something because I can't sit there that long. So I'm like, this is too long for me. So can you just?
I need time to tell a story, bro. You gotta tell a story. Okay, that's very cool. So you're out there helping all these filmmakers, basically. You're really doing it. See, I'm gonna be honest with you. I have a kind of bad attitude with film festivals. I always have, because I didn't get it. I knew if I wanted to go out and network and meet other filmmakers, other people in the industry, maybe network a little bit, that it totally makes sense. But as far as premiering or showing a film at a film festival, I've always stayed away from it. And I've talked about it on the show before. I just don't see the advantage of doing it when I know I can be a self-distribution person and I can get my film out there myself, or I know what distributors are out there and I can reach out to them myself to reach more eyeballs, if that makes sense.
I mean, if you can get picked up by a distributor, but that distributor typically is just rolling your film back into film festivals. I think one of the advantages of coming to a film festival is actually to see your work in front of a live audience, and to and also promote your film with other filmmakers or whomever may be at that film festival. Mm-hmm. Some of the larger film festivals certainly have some distributors.
Yeah.
But it's about meeting one another, and I think it's about seeing your work in front of a live audience a lot of the times. Okay. And in front of filmmakers. I think that's a very unique experience, and I think that I love that at a film festival there's that, you know, that collective viewing experience of everybody being in the cinemas together. Mm-hmm. Watching the same thing, you know, rather than just streaming, you know, separately and isolated alone. You know, there's a complete different energy with your film when it's a whole audience of people watching it together with you. And so I encourage you to maybe engage that experience, because I think it'll help you develop as a filmmaker, because you just get a different sort of feel. Oh, I thought this part was funny. I thought this part drew, but you know, it's like a different, because you're actually getting that live reaction, mm-hmm. you know? And yes, you can push it up online and you can go to YouTube and you can definitely self-promote. And I wouldn't discourage anyone from doing that. But I think that I can't speak for all film festivals. I can only speak for mine. But it is definitely worth celebrating your work in person with the other great filmmakers that are there, and to show your work in front of people who are, like I said, are just guest industry speakers who are for perhaps somebody, or you make a relationship with someone that's going to help elevate your work.
Yeah, absolutely.
Your future work.
I totally agree. I agree with all of that. Well, absolutely. Especially with short films. I totally agree. But it gets to the feature thing, I'm leery, I guess. Because I mean, we've made three Neil films that are almost ready. Two have been in distribution, you know, Sam's documentary, our feature, Tubi TV, Amazon Prime. I mean, we've got all this stuff out there. It's making money. We've got good numbers. Nice. So it's kind of like, okay, if I go to a film festival with a feature film, why am I doing it if there's no distributor there? Why am I doing it if there's not X, Y, and Z that I could get out of it as a filmmaker? I guess that's where I'm coming from. But for short films, it makes sense, because it's a lot harder to promote those on your own. I mean, the only platform you really have is YouTube. You know, I mean, if you want to read
Shorts of the Week.
Yeah, there's stuff like that.
I think Netflix is doing short film blocks now. I noticed something Netflix had. They had Halloween, like a whole series of Halloween shorts.
Wow. Yeah, I don't know. I didn't see that.
I only noticed that because we had a couple of our films that ended up in there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Yeah. That's cool. See, that stuff that I think would be great if you could get the word out for that, for film favorite, mm-hmm. especially people who are dabbling in the shorts because they can't make those features yet, you know.
Sure.
Yeah, that totally makes sense to me.
Well, and another, we did have, you know, an experience with one film festival, and it felt really clicky to us. Like, we felt like the outsiders.
Oh, the Gig Harbor
and, like,
one,
yeah. it was not a good experience for us, and we just felt like, you know, even not to say ours was the best in there and it should have won something, but the one that won, we were just like, oh, well, that seems like staged or picked, you know, like for a reason, because they were younger people, and it just seemed
it didn't feel right.
Yeah, it didn't feel fair or right.
Yeah.
It really didn't. And then at the end, you know, everyone's talking and no one's talking to us. So it was just like clicky and just.
I think we had one judge that said that he liked ours. Like, that was the one he wanted. Yeah, he was no judge. I love that judge. He was cool.
But there were even other ones in there that were kind of ignored, too.
I can promise you that is the one thing I can say about the McMinnville Short Film Festival.
You're not clicky?
We are. Good. It is a very inclusive.
They're in the middle of nowhere. There's no clicks.
It is one of the highlights that we hear the most feedback from our filmmakers. Okay. I mean, it is very engaging. You know, the whole group just, you know, we have usually over 60% of our filmmakers attend our film festival, you know, that are accepted, which is really high industry standard.
Yeah, it is.
And we, you know, we, It is a fun, warm, like I said, just very inclusive event for filmmakers, and we mix in audience members. We have mixers at all, like the tasting rooms, because McMinnville's the wine region. So, we have our opening ceremony in a barrel room at one of the oldest vineyards in the Willamette Valley, and just get everybody all thrown in together at once and just break that ice and then go out and watch each other's work. And so we have a lot of fun mixers and events. And then, of course, we have our industry panel. But so it's like we try to create an experience for our filmmakers over the weekend, and I can say, as I said, I was a filmmaker that also premiered at this festival. I had that experience, and so I really try to keep that spirit alive going forward with all the future events for this festival. Yeah.
Very nice. Very nice.
I think, listen to what everybody's saying, buddy. I think that the way Heather explains everything is great, because I think we give ourselves the experience that nobody else gives themselves. Like she says, it's an opportunity for the filmmakers to see their movies up on the full on a screen and have interactions. Where when we release anything, we run out of theater and sell tickets.
Yeah,
so we always have that, we always do that experience for ourselves. So
yeah.
We really are self-serving. No,
it's true.
But I was thinking about her. She said that. I didn't think about that before. It's like, think of how many of people that we've even had on our show that have done something, one thing, and then vanished.
Yeah.
Because they put everything into one thing and it didn't turn out the way they wanted it to. And that's kind of what that film festival feeling gives them that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good point.
Yeah, that is a good point.
That's a very good point.
Well, I've heard a lot of good points about it and a lot of...
Absolutely. No.
I definitely think differently of of it a little bit now from what you've said, because you've explained it really well.
Yeah.
And I think that should be welcoming to filmmakers to do something like that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Heather, you've got a good, premise of the reason why, your motive behind it. I mean, you can tell you're trying to help these filmmakers get noticed.
I feel very committed to, I don't have, I feel like it's important to just be really authentic. I mean, I don't see the point of doing this unless you're doing it for the right reasons. Like, I don't see the point of doing something unless you're really trying to be truthful about what you're trying to accomplish.
Hell yeah.
So much in the industry. I lived in LA a long time. There's no point in doing something. It takes a lot of effort to pull off a film festival. And if it doesn't have all the right intention, why are you doing it?
Exactly.
What's the point? I can do something. I can spend my time making movies.
Exactly.
I love that. And you can tell that you believe in it so much, because it just, your answers just come out freely. Like you just that's the answer.
She doesn't fuck around. She knows
genuinely her
shit.
The answer.
Yeah. She knows what she's doing.
You believe in it, and I love that, because that just welcomes people. I think more wants to bring people there.
Yeah.
Not just to maybe submit a movie, but to go there.
To watch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
To come into the audience, and mix up with the filmmakers in the event. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, and you make a good point. You're like, she could be out there making her own movies. Why that? She's, no, that's true, because what was the last short film you did? Just so I don't want to say it in case it wasn't you, but I think this one I looked up was you, and I watched a trailer for it, but please go.
The last film I did was Above the Desert with No Name, which is still on the circuit right now.
Yeah.
And I did a short comedy. That's a drama. I did a short comedy called EC.
Okay.
About a talking air conditioner.
That's perfect. I love it. I love it.
Those fucking air conditioners.
That's fun. No, I watched a trailer for Above the Desert with No Name, and it's really good. It's really good. I was interested, and I literally watched it right before the show. I was like, I think this is let me just look at it. Very well done. That trailer was fantastic. So you're a filmmaker, so you can appreciate other films.
Yeah.
I think it helps. To be coming from that side. Mm-hmm. I think it helps, because like I said, I have a lot of appreciation for what everybody goes through to make this work.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So I feel the pain,
Exactly. The drill, what's up, what they went through to make something. And that's vital. That's like why Sam likes Intervention so much. It's when you've got the interventionist, and he was a former addict, but he's talking to an addict. they can relate. You know, you can't have some. Yeah, you can't have Bruce, who's been just a PhD from Harvard, come in and think he knows all the shit, and he's had a clean life. They ain't gonna respect that guy, but they'll respect the guy who had a heroin thing going on back in the day, right?
It's called an addiction.
Yeah, addiction. Yeah, it matters.
The vernacular, right?
Yeah. Now that we've compared filmmakers to addicts,
we are though. We are. We're crazy like that. We're addicted to it. It's addicting.
You speak for yourself.
It's addicting. You can't help it. It's
well,
bad.
Alcoholism and writers. Yeah. You know, like.
Here it is. We've taken a couple months off from filming because to take a break because we filmed every month last year. We filmed one short a month.
August
one short
September.
A month. Boom, boom, boom. And then we did an hour feature.
Or February through September.
Yeah, in December to get us to almost the 11th episode in our series.
Wow.
And I was like, we need to take a break. Jesus Christ. And Sam made a documentary during that time. I was editing that. I know. We did all this shit and we take a couple months off. Within 4 weeks, I was like, we need to make something. So I came up with the idea of doing an audio series. You know, I got it because I'm addicted. Yeah, I'm fucking addicted to this.
You need to go to rehab.
I need rehab.
You're like highly protective methods.
I know. And then after that, if I'm not addicted to that, guess what I've been doing for like the last 5 weeks? Playing Xbox again. I'm playing video games. Guess what? I'm addicted. I'm just like, fuck this game. Shit.
Somebody has an addictive personality.
Yeah. I can't help it.
Meditation might be in your future.
Yeah.
You ain't kidding. I need to calm down. Jesus Christ.
He does meditate. He sits down and plugs into the Xbox.
There you go. Yeah. True.
It's crazy. Yeah. It's an addiction. It's fun. You can't help it.
It is. I mean, when it's like so much hard work, you know, and then you finally wrap on the shoot after you've like done every, you know, getting to that point. I mean, Above the Desert took a couple of years to make. And
oh, wow.
We were like 5 a.m. out somewhere, like past Santa Clarita in the middle of the desert, you know, filming these final. It was literally 4 in the morning.
Yeah.
And we finally, and I was just like, oh my God. And it's like, you're so exhausted. It took so much work to get to that point. And then you're like, oh, make another one.
You know, exactly. Yep.
It doesn't even take long. I felt that not right then, but like, you know, you're just, you get addicted to
you kind of
creative process, you know? And,
It's so good. It's such a good feeling.
What happened with GPO? GPO was my first.
Yes.
That was my first movie. And when it was over, I was like, oh, I'm so glad it's over. And then what was it like a week later? I was
you started digging into your book. What other documentary should I make?
Can I do?
Exactly.
What should I make next?
It happens. It happens.
She's got 3 books of ideas just for docs. So it's like, okay, you choose.
Yeah. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
So that goes what in. You do.
Yeah.
Yeah. This all goes into that hard question I wanted to ask you earlier, listening, because you put so much now effort into this. How much creative time you have for yourself to still create, make movies, make tell stories?
I mean, very good
question. I'm primarily a writer. You know, I'm not a director. So it's bitten into some of my writing time. Some screenplays in the works. I had one optioned earlier this year, so kind of waiting to see if that's going to go into production. But it's just about time management and sort of balancing it out. My first 2 years, you know, it's my second year running the festival, so I'm definitely getting a handle more on sort of like boundaries of time and so I can build out so I don't lose my own creative pace.
Right.
So it's been a challenge, I'm not going to lie. It's hard to kind of balance what you're giving and what you need to sort of like, you know, time-wise, and then kind of making time for yourself. I mean, that's sort of the adage, I guess,
for jobs, not just this one.
it's cut into some of it, but I think going into this next year, I have a better layout because I know a little bit what to expect, you know, as far as more of the, you know, the nuts and bolts side with like grant writing and deadlines and all of that stuff. I have a better idea of when all those time deadlines are, you know, so it just kind of, I'm able to sort of structure my time a little better.
It's not as stressful. You're getting to your flow.
Well, you've been doing the festival, what, 2 years, you said?
2 years.
Okay, yeah.
This will be my second full festival this year.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay, yeah.
And I'm sorry if I missed it earlier. When is your festival?
Next weekend. So February 20th.
Oh, it's next weekend.
25th.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. If you guys want to come check it out, I'll have some passes waiting for you.
Oh, that's so sweet. It's you said Willamette County, right?
Yamhill County. It's McMinnville is the name of the town, and it's about 45 minutes south of Portland proper.
Okay, got it.
Right in Oregon wine country. McMinnville's sort of the seat of the Willamette Valley wine region.
Okay, got it. Mm-hmm. I went down there for one of the colleges. I think it was Willamette.
Or Linfield or George Fox. There's a bunch of colleges down that way.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Like Movie Maker Magazine, they just featured us as one of 20 great film festivals and vacation destinations.
Oh, that's nice. That's good.
It was a nice plug. Yeah.
That's good. Very so cool. 13 years this thing's been going. You've taken it over. This is your second year.
Yeah.
And how did last year go for you guys there?
I think it went great outside of the blizzard. Oh, yeah. So we had a 4-day schedule. Okay. My first festival. We had a 4-day festival scheduled, and literally a blizzard hit Portland. My car was frozen to the parking lot.
Oh, yeah, I remember. Yeah.
Frozen. We had to cancel one day of the festival. So it was like this huge quagmire on the first day of like notifying everybody and moving all these venues and pushing them onto it, like getting a second theater at the cinema and like to push things off till, I mean, a couple of the blocks had to be completely nixed, a couple college blocks. But yeah, so it was
kind of an adventure. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It was so I'm like, okay, so I've been like watching the weather for next week. I'm like, it better not be a blizzard.
No shit.
Because I will flip out. But it looks like it's just going to be typical drizzly, overcast rain. So I'm like, okay, perfect. We can handle that.
Yeah.
No outdoor viewings. We're fine.
No outdoor viewings. Yeah, it was crazy last year. I mean, everything just shut. They closed the airport. It was all my filmmakers that were coming in from LA, all of their flights got canceled.
Oh, no.
It's a lot.
Wow. Yeah, that's good.
This is nothing.
Yeah, no kidding. It all came together and then bam.
Yeah. We regrouped. We pulled it off, though, and we ended up having a great festival. So
that's great. That's great. So how do you market your festival? How do you get it out there? What are you doing?
We're heavily promoted by Visit McMinnville, who's sort of the PR arm for McMinnville. Billboard, we push it out on eBlast. I'm doing this segment. I have a segment on the morning news on Monday with KGW in Portland. You know, things like that. We do have a PR agency that we're working with out of Seattle, actually. And just basically, you know, ads.
Was that Smart House?
Yeah, Smart House.
Okay, We love them. We love them.
Yeah, they're great.
They are great.
And so just basically the way that most film festivals promote, I probably am trying to push a little harder because I'm trying to get it more visible to our audience members.
Yeah.
I worked really hard to get it up on the filmmaker side these last few years, and we're definitely trending. So yeah, basically just outreach. You know, we're going to do some year-round programming this year. We're going to do some pop-ups, short film pop-ups in and around Yamhill County and McMinnville. So that'll be fun. So we'll do them at the wineries and some in downtown McMinnville at a brewery, you know, definitely to keep promoting our filmmakers and raise visibility for the festival throughout the year.
Very good.
Very good and very cool, yes.
All right. And what are your submission guidelines like, or at least price? I mean, I know that's important for filmmakers. Like, how much does it cost to submit your film, and what are the deadlines to get in and all that good stuff?
Sure. So we will open submissions in mid-April. Our submission is $40 for regular submission. We do a wave free submission for Native American filmmakers, for college students, and for Yamhill County filmmakers. So they can all submit for free. We also offer 15% off BIPOC identified filmmakers and LGBTQ identified filmmakers, so 15% off there. And we do discounts for our alumni who are resubmitting new films. That goes out internally with our direct filmmaker newsletters and things like that. So that's basically it, which is you get a lot for that $40 submission.
No, that's good. That's good.
Getting all full open, you know, famed Willamette Valley wine, open wine bars, full catered events.
We
do cover travel and airfare for certain filmmakers. We have entirely catered closing night awards ceremony dinner. So we take care of the filmmakers when they are
sick.
That's beautiful. That's good.
Very cool.
You're taking care of these people. See? Look at you, Heather. That's awesome. Did you put your own movie in your own film festival, though?
No.
I did. I would. I would in a heartbeat.
That would be egregious.
Yeah, it'd be the first movie shown. You guys all sit down and watch this shit first.
But you have had
it's a feature movie.
But you have had one of your movies in that particular film festival.
Yeah, before I was associated with this film festival. Yeah. Yeah, like 4 years ago, before I was associated with the film festival. Right. I submitted. That's how I found this film. That's how I had the experience of the festival.
Yeah, but that would kind of suck, though, because if you put your own, what if you put your own movie in there and then the judges like it so much they beat everybody else and then you'd be like, shh.
I'm like up accepting the award.
I think that's hilarious. That's funny.
You know what? I can think of some people that probably would think that's okay.
I know a bunch of them probably would.
Think
absolutely.
That was okay, actually.
In this industry, are you kidding me? They would love that shit. Yeah, they'd utilize that platform for them.
Yeah.
Aaron is talking about himself primarily.
Well, I only go off of what I know. I see it all the time. A lot of filmmakers are that way.
Oh, yeah.
It's sad.
Like I said, I came from L.A. I can tell you that stuff.
Oh, yeah. So you know all about that attitude.
I don't give a shit. Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's make it like it's for everybody else, but it's about me.
I am the film festival poster, you know.
Yeah.
Well, okay, well, talking about film festivals really quick, what do you think about those monthly film festivals? Do you think that's actually more something that you can get accreditation from, or is that just more for the people who are running the film festivals to get that check every month for the submittals?
That's a good question.
I can't speak on behalf of those film festivals. I do know that New Filmmakers Los Angeles runs a wonderful monthly film festival, you know, and they feature a lot of really great filmmakers. And I think they operate almost every month or multiple times a year. And that's definitely a high standard film festival. I'm not sure.
Spoken like somebody who might have won one of those once.
No. but I think just as a word of, you know, caution maybe to filmmakers who are, you know, spending all that money. It's expensive, right? Mm-hmm. You can spend a lot of money.
Yeah.
Once you make a short or feature or whatever, and you want to like get it out there and you're sending out to... These film festivals aren't cheap, you know, and you're spending hundreds, if not more, if not a thousand or more, you know, filmmakers don't add that into their budget, but, you know, the cost of submissions, but they should.
Yeah.
But, you know, I would say, look at the film festivals. Don't worry about where they're located and the name, because look at what they're offering their filmmakers, because there's a lot of film festivals out there, unfortunately, that are really just screenings, you know, and you're submitting this $40, $30, $50 just to, they're not actually watching the, you know, they're all programmed, and it's, the quality is, it can be questionable, and it's a screening, you know, I mean,
yeah,
you know, so it's not actually a festival, even though it's being advertised as such. So that just be, I would encourage filmmakers to know the difference before they spend their hard-earned money just throwing their film everywhere.
You definitely work hard to treat everyone, you know, special and make it a special event. And
that's
go.
Cool.
I mean,
it is a special event.
Yeah, and it should be.
Your work is getting shown.
Absolutely, it should be. It should be. So, yeah, kudos for that.
No, Heather, I'm glad you said that. Go ahead.
Yeah, because we actually, well, we had somebody locally who did that. They rented out the theater and they were showing off. They were highlighting a whole bunch of people's short films. And everybody said, oh, yeah, come to this film festival. He said, no, it's not a festival. We ran out of theater. We're showing our stuff.
Yeah.
Stop saying
which
festival.
Is awesome.
Yeah, which is awesome.
There's nothing wrong with a screening.
Oh, no.
You're encouraging drinking. I think it's a festival. Let's party.
No, but there is a difference, and there should be, and there should be care.
They're just different.
I think
especially new filmmakers don't understand what that difference is.
Correct.
And so their experience going in is, you know, they're not aware of, you know, what actually is the point of having a, quote, festival, you know, and it's all those other pieces that go along with it.
That was us.
Yeah. But which is why I liked Heather's comment and what she said about researching this stuff. Know what you're doing, you know, and why you're doing it. Like you said earlier, you know, there's a reason for you, the way you're running your festival for filmmakers. A filmmaker should have a reason why he wants or she wants to submit to you as well.
Sure.
Right? Yeah. You know, it makes sense. And that's that legwork you got to do as a filmmaker. It's not just about making your fucking movie. It's about why you're getting it out there and what reasons are you getting it and where are you going to show it? How are you going to show it? You know,
because I mean, you can make it, but it's got to get shown to the right people.
Exactly.
You want your work seen by the right people and the right audience and alongside the right quality level with all the work you just put in.
Yep. That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Look at you helping these people.
Awesome.
Man. I mean, that was our idea. Let's do this podcast and just isolate everybody and try to help people out, you know, give them a platform to talk about their work and who they are. That's why we started this. That was our whole motive behind it. You know, we ended up loving it so much because we talk a lot of shit on the show. It's fun.
But
at the same time, it is for them, you know, to give them an opportunity to shine.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what you're doing.
Yeah.
And that's cool as fuck.
It's fun.
That's cool as fuck. Yeah. I love it. All right. All right, well, she sold me on the short film festival, at least. She did. Yeah.
Now we just have to figure out if we're ever going to make a short.
Yeah. But I like
Please do.
I like it.
I mean, like, oh my God, it's these people.
I know. It's just like, Jesus Christ.
Oh,
jeez.
Well, right now, it's funny because we are in the middle of actually changing all of our script writing stuff that we've been doing because we've been paying for this, you know, the subscription service, and it's not worth it for all that it has.
Too much.
So we're sitting here transferring all these files, and I'm like, God, we could take some of these stories that we just barely started writing. Uh-huh. And turn them into shorts.
Yes, we
can. Wait, you're paying for a script writing service? What do you mean?
Yeah,
we were paying subscriptions for a script. It's a script writing and a production service and everything else.
It's Celtic. Oh. It's called Celtic.
Yeah,
I call everything out. So if anybody Celtics. Gets Celtic, yeah, they're gonna get
okay.
out there.
I've never heard of it. Okay.
Celtic is a screenwriting software program. It's subscription based. It's a yearly thing. It's like $400 some bucks, Chuck.
My that final draft.
That's what I'm saying, yeah. right? It's, you just buy
it's
just
it. Like, specials throughout the year. Right. I don't represent them, but yeah, I mean, they always have some kind of deal going on. It's a one-time purchase.
Exactly. A one-time purchase, and you can do your stuff. This thing had all this other stuff. You know, it had a scheduler in it. You know,
the schedule, the scheduling
sheets, see if you needed to do them. And we just kept paying for it. And then it was going to renew. And Chuck's like, do you want to renew this? I'm like, no, bro. Let's just buy something different. We don't have to do that. No. Fuck that.
I mean, the production software is really helpful. Is it Movie Magic or something? You know, it's a little complicated, yeah. But it's, you know, that's like, because you're running schedules and stuff. It's extremely helpful. You know,
it is. It really is. And that's why I think one of the reasons why we kept it for so long. But yeah. Anyway, I don't know. Oh, your back's hurting. Yeah, she's dealing with a sore back.
It's orthopedic Saturday. So,
orthopedic Saturday.
I feel a little stiff in the shoulders here. So.
Well, Heather, it's been great talking with you.
Thank you for having me. This has been fun.
Absolutely.
Really fun.
Yes.
And we didn't even play a game.
No, we didn't. No, we got right into it. The film festival. Because I always have questions with film festivals. Yeah. You know that. I love it. I love it, and I don't love it. But I'm learning. I'm learning. But Heather, you're doing a really cool thing for filmmakers. I appreciate you a lot. So good job.
Thank you.
Yes.
And I suggest anyone who's interested in attending the festival to just go to mcminnvillefilmfest.org. Our full schedule's on there. You can follow us at MacFilmFest on Instagram, where all the update stuff that's going on for next week's events are all going to be on both of those. So.
Awesome.
Very cool.
Yeah. Good for you.
Very,
good
very
for you.
Cool.
I'm proud of you. Good
we'll
job.
We'll get this out so good job. People can hear it and go to the festival.
That's right.
That's right. That's open invitation. Hope you want to make it down here.
I love it.
Awesome. Thank you.
All right, Chuck. You want to close us out, buddy?
Thank you so much. It's been fun.
Yeah, thank you.
Go ahead, Chuck. Do your thing.
Heather, thank you for joining us today on Around the Reel. Thank you for hanging out for a cup of coffee and a conversation, or whatever might be in your mug, or thermos, or Yeti, whatever you're using to consume or hide your beverage. Please join us next week when Sam figures out how to do some yoga and fix her back, and when we find out that Heather is going to look more like me after her film festival comes to an end, because she's going to stress herself out all week long. This is the most fun she's going to have for the next 8 days, because planning, organizing, and getting ready to do something is crazy. And we're all creatives, which means we're all butt-fucking crazy. Thank you for joining us today on Around the Reel. Remember, everybody out there, think hard, because you're thinking anyway.
We'll see everybody later.
Bye.
For those of you that want to be a guest on Around the Reel, please email Sam at aroundthereel253@gmail.com.
That's aroundthereel253@gmail.com.
Not Messenger. Do not message Aaron on Messenger, because then he has to send you a message that says email Sam at aroundthereel253@gmail.com.
That's aroundthereel253@gmail.com.
How come they can't just message me again?
Because nobody wants to fucking talk to you.
Can anybody reach out that's an artist, filmmaker, actor?
If you're an artist of any kind, we want to hear from you.
But we are going to vet the crap out of you.
We don't care if you make millions of dollars in Hollywood or if you're just beginning your career in the art industry. We don't care. So everybody that wants to be on Around the Reel, yes, we want you.
That's aroundthereel253@gmail.com.
This week's episode is brought to you by Entrepreneur Swag Shop. As business owners, it's important that we create the right environment and surround ourselves with the right people and the right things to keep you focused and motivated.
Entrepreneur Swag Shop offers clothing and accessories designed to empower entrepreneurs to share their message, their beliefs, and their journey with the world. Through inspiration and identity, the powerful messages printed on the items will help align you with who you want to be and what you want to achieve.
Whether you are new or experienced, male or female, young or old, you'll absolutely find a message that resonates with you. Visit entrepreneurswagshop.com and use code AROUNDTHEREAL during checkout to get 10% off your order today.
Get that swag, people.